God declares his judgment. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel."
To us a child is born. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
God promises a ruler from Bethlehem. The Lord says, "Bethlehem Ephratah, you are one of the smallest towns in Judah, but out of you I will bring a ruler for Israel, whose family line goes back to ancient times. So the Lord will abandon his people to their enemies until the woman who is to give birth has her son. Then those Israelites who are in exile will be reunited with their own people. When he comes, he will rule his people with the strength that comes from the Lord and with the majesty of the Lord God himself. His people will live in safety because people all over the earth will acknowledge his greatness, and he will bring peace."
The angel comes to Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
God's promise is explained to Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, for he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was laying in the manger.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet had written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
The Word become flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Please do sit down. So I wonder what Christmas means for you. Is coming here this evening part of the feeling Christmassy? There's lots of familiar things at this time of year. There's carols, there's mince pies, there's tinsel, there's turkey to come, there's trees, there's jumpers. I've seen a few splendid Christmas jumpers here this evening. There are presents, there are parties. And we've heard a lot of words spoken and sung tonight. All this talk of angels, of Bethlehem, of Nazareth, of Mary, of Magi, of mangers, of Joseph, of John, of shepherds. And words about the Word, a child, a baby. But there are three words that I want us to think about very briefly this evening. Three words that have been said that you might have missed. In the seventh reading, it was from Luke chapter 2. And we had the shepherds being spoken to by an angel. And the angel said this. He said this to the shepherds. He said, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So those three words that I want us to think about are Saviour, Messiah, and Lord. And in the Bible, they're given capital letters. They're three names that are given to this baby. And so what do those names mean? Saviour means a royal preserver, a rescuer for humanity. The Messiah or Christ is God's chosen anointed one, the one chosen to be king of the whole world. And the third name, Lord, is that Jesus is God himself, the Son of God born into poverty and obscurity. And the story that we've heard is a true story. It's not a fairy tale, but it's a story that is rooted in history. From the beginning of time to a place and time 4,000 miles away in 2000 years ago. Luke tells us that when he says, "in those days." So this is a true story. What sort of story is it? Well, if I had to choose, I would say that this story, the story of Jesus' birth, of his incarnation, of God being with us, that it's a love story. It's a love story between God and the creation that he made. And it's a love story between God and people. A love story that tells of God's desire to be in relationship with each of us. A love story where he wants to restore the brokenness that Adam and Eve caused in that first reading that we heard. And it's a love story which involves you, it involves me. It's a love story that impacts all things at all times. A love story that has a part in it for you. And we here at the family, the church family here at Budok, we are on a journey as we discover our own part on that God love story. And there's nothing more that we'd love more than to share that journey with you, that we would love you to come and join us as we continue to discover the love story of following Jesus. Jesus, who is the Saviour, the Messiah, and the Lord. And so in the new year, we have an opportunity. If you see me afterwards, we have some invites to our Alpha course, which is an invitation for you to come and understand and think and talk about your questions and find out more about who Jesus is. And as it's shortly to be Christmas, we'd also love to give you your very first Christmas present, unless you've opened one already, which is one of these little booklets which explains more about who Jesus is and his life and the significance that he has for us here today. So see me after the service. So now we're going to stand and sing our final carol, and during that there's a collection going to be made. And so a blessing as we go from here. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.